So, Matos. Tav Shin Ayin Vav. So, the Parsha's got a collection of things. First is a discussion of the Nedarim. Let's just look briefly, you know, through the Parsha. The beginning of the Parsha discusses the Halachas and the Nedarim. Hafaras Nedarim, the Remez Tataras Nedarim, right? And as a father is made for his wife's Nedarim, his younger daughter's Nedarim, etc. Then.
What
Nedarim
concerning what?
Any sort of Nedarim. Nedarim they make. Nedarim that concern them, whatever. And this was all said to the Rashi Matos Livnei Israel, the head of the Matos, the groupings, the tribes. Right? Not quite the. It's an interesting terminology, Matos. Yeah, Matos. Mat is a staff, right? Mat is also a grouping, a gathering. Roshea Matos. Okay, that's the beginning, very beginning of Parsha. Idaber Moshe el Roshea Matos of Bnei Yisrael Emor Zeh Davar Sher Tziva Hashem. This is the thing that Hashem has commanded. It's very interesting terminology. Zeh Davar. Zeh Davar. This is the thing. Right? This is not the only thing that Hashem commanded. Right? Why use all of a sudden the terminology of Zeh Davar?
What pasuk is that?
That's the very first pasuk in Parsha. Right? Okay, then see it? By Davar Moshe El Roshe Hamatos of Israel, and more Zehadavar. This is the thing Asher Tziva Hashem, Hashem commanded. This is it.
Oh, that's pretty weird.
It's very strange.
It is.
Right. Okay. Then afterwards, after they finish the parsha in the Darim, then starts the discussion of Hashem telling Moshe from Sheni. That's Perek Lamed Aleph. Pasuk Aleph, from there on, there it talks about Nikom Nikmas Bnei Yisrael Meisa Midyanim. Avenge the vengeance of the Jewish people from the Midianites. Achate Sefel Mechem. And afterwards, you will, as it were, you will be gathered in to your people. In other words, it'll be time for you to leave this world. So, then it talks about the battle with Midian. And talks about how initially they didn't kill all the women. Right, and the children, and Moshe Rabbeinu was upset with them that they didn't do that, etc. And then that battle is finished, and then we learn the halachas in pasuk. Pasuk of Aleph. We learn the dinim of hagolas kalim. This is the makor of hagolas kalim. Right, and how to kasher the kalim. Kasher the kalim. Zav, Kesef, the Choshes, right? Right, what do they call it? They learn out here. Right, they learn out here. Hagolas kalim, learn out here. Tefilas kalim. Starting Ravi, he talks about how they divided up the spoils from the war, etc. And, that continues on, really, right, up until Periklamet Beis. Periklamet Beis, where he begins the discussion of the Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain. They came to Moshe Rabbeinu, here we are, in the Eved Garden, good grazing land, you know, we want to stay here. Moshe Rabbeinu initially is very upset with them, makes conditions with them, under which circumstances they'll be allowed to keep this. They have to go fight with Bnei Israel, they're going to go before Bnei Israel even. Right, they'll be leading the charge into Eretz Yisrael, etc., etc. And that becomes the discussion, basically until where?
That's Avram's water. Where are you going?
So that's what he called. At any event, that's that continues on, basically, till the end of the parsha. Right. That's been destroyed till the end of the parsha. So that's the discussion of the parsha. We've got the Nedarim, we've got the Midyanim. We've got the battle with Midian.
Reuben and God.
Right, and that's basically the story here. Okay. Fine. So let's take a look. We'll see. Yeah, maybe. We never. So, what the Torah, it's a very interesting thing, the Dafk over here, of all places, we have this discussion of the power of speech. So let's take a look. It says here, by Dabba Moshe El Roshe Amatos, right there on page 1, right? Moshe el Roshe Matos of Bnei Yisrael, and Moazel of Arshat Siva Hashem, Ishki Dor Neder La Hashem, O Yishav Shvua Le Esori Saral Nafsho, Lo Yachel Dvaro, Kachol Yotemi Pivya Ases. So we have the din here of a person taking a neder or taking a shvua. In a neder, right, the normal case is that he forbids an object upon himself. He makes it as though it were Kodesh. He transforms its nature, the nature of the object, makes it as though it was good to be related to, like it was Kodesh. And the Shvua is, on the individual, he's not going to do a certain act. It says, Luyachel Dvaro, he shouldn't profane, he shouldn't turn to chulin, he shouldn't turn into the mundane, his words. Gechol Yotzemi Piv Yaseh, everything that comes out of his mouth, he should do. In other words, if you swore, then you should do it.
What was it? A Shvua is what?
Shvu is an oath that you're going to do an act, right? The neder is usually on the object, and the shvu is on the action, your action. I'm going to do this action. I'm not going to do this action. I did do this action. I didn't do this action, etc. The pasuk in Dvarim says, "Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, Yir Hashem, you should fear. Oso Savod, only he you should serve." Avod, right? Avoda, uvo sidbak, and you should cleave to him. Ubishmo tishavea, and in his name you will swear. So says the Medrash by us. Here in the by Dabba Moshe El Roshe. You see the Medrash Rab underneath it. Dabba Moshe El Roshe Matos Ish Ki Yudor Neder LaHashem Hu Dichsiv Nishvat Achay Hashem BeEmes LeMishpat VeTzaka. Right. The one who can swear, Ish Gidor Neder LaHashem, or Yishava Shvua, etc. Right? That's, who is that person? That a person who swears in the name of Hashem, and it is Emes Umishpat Utztaka. Another the person is really connected to the concepts of Emes Mishpat Utztaka. And that sort of person can swear in the name of Hashem. But otherwise, you don't swear in the name of Hashem. Amalema Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Israel, Lo tu svurim. You shouldn't think. Shehutar. Don't think that, what do you call it? Here. There's a chair there. Lo tu svurim. You shouldn't think. Shehutar lachem li shava bishmi. Don't think it's permissible for you to swear in my name. I feel the emes, even in truth. Ein ata rashai li shava b'shmi. You're not allowed to swear in my name. Ele im kein, only if, ye b'cha, there should be in you, kol hamidos ha'elu. You have to have all of these qualities in order to be able to swear.
So which, the first imager says that a person who is totally connected to Hashem can swear.
Right. But you have to agree completely. Since the message continues, you can only swear in the name of Hashem if you have all these qualities. Which qualities? Which qualities? Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. You should have fear of Hashem. Right? The pasuk we just read before from Dvarim. The pasuk we just read before in Dvarim.
Yeah.
Right? Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, Shetehei Keosan Sheknikru Yirei Elokim. You have to be like those whom the Tanakh refers to as Yirei Elokim, those who are God-fearing. Avram, Eov, and Yosef. Right? In other words, in order to swear, there are times when a person is forced to swear. In other words, in business dealings, etc., right? There are shvuas that a person is required to take, but for a person, as it were, just to give strength to his words, or just as it were, to commit to doing something, one should not be flippant, right? You can't be flippant. You can't use a shvua, as it were, to add strength to your words, unless, right, you have the qualities of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, Oso Savod, Uvosi Debak. Right? You'll have fear of God, your life is committed to service of God, and you cleave to God. So now the Medrash explains. What does it mean you have fear of God? You have to be in the category of those people. Yes, similar to those people who are referred to as in the Psukim as Yirei Elokim. Avram is referred to as Yirei Elokim. Eov is referred to as Yirei Elokim. And Yosef refers to himself as Yirei Elokim. Right? But it's written in the Torah. Okay? The Oso Sa'avod. What does it mean that you're one who serves Hashem? So you see the second section of bold writing there. V'oso savod, in the middle of the line, v'oso savod, im ata mafne atzmecha l'Torah, if you turn yourself to Torah, v'lasok v'mitzos, in other words, if all of your turnings, if all of the way that you direct your focus, let's say, in life, is towards Torah and involvement in mitzos, v'eilecha avod acheres, and there is nothing else that you see is incumbent upon you. It doesn't mean you don't do any of the mundane acts of life, but that's not the focus of your life. You are mafne. You're the will. You free yourself to focus exclusively on Torah Vavoda. Upon that person, it says, oh, so savod. Then you're a person who's being over Hashem. Right? Yirei Elokim. Oh, so savod. And, record, and, uvo sidbak. Uvo sidbak, and you shall cleave to him. How can you cleave to him? How can you cleave to Hashem? Hashem is a burning fire. You can't cleave to fire. Says the Medrash. It's also the Gemara, but says the Medrash. Yeah, down again, the last bold citation in this first Medrash. Kol amesi bitul atamet chacham. Shekor v'shoda v'osa pakmatia u'manheu minachosav. A person who marries off his daughter to a Talmud Chacham. A person who aids a Talmud Chacham in his business dealings so that he can, what do you call it, so that he can make a parnasa. Right? Manheu minachosav. He gives him benefit, right? From, you know, if I give him my assets to benefit a Talmud Chacham, all of this is a fulfillment uvo sidbak, that you're cleaving to Hashem. Because since the Talmud Chacham is attached to the Torah, he's identified with the Torah, by your attaching yourself to him, so what you've done is, you will record, you are fulfilling the mitzvah uvo sidbak. If you have all these midos, yira, avoda, dveikus v'Hashem, so then you can swear in Hashem's name. V'imav ena tarashai li'shava. And even if you're telling the truth, don't swear. You can't use Hashem's name that way. Fine. So this is Fathemis. The Medrash. It says in the Medrash. V'nishvati. Im yesh b'chol, the Medrash that we just saw before, im nishbata, right? Im yesh b'chol midos halalu ka'osin shnikro yirei Hashem, etc. So he brings the whole Medrash. End of the first line here in the Sfasemis, right? In Tuf Reish Amid Aleph. Perish, shenikru shmam ala yira. Their name is associated with yira. Avram is referred to as having yira. Eov is referred to as having yira. And Yosef, what he calls, is referred to as having had yira. No, he's saying they had what he called, again, what we're saying is that if you, what he called, like the Pasuk says in Dvarim, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, you shall fear God. Oso Savod, you shall serve him, right? Vosidvak, with him you shall cleave. Uvo Uvishmo Tishaveya, if you have the first three qualities, then you can swear. Then you can use Hashem's name. But if you don't have those three qualities, then you can't use Hashem's name.
Yeah, but people who have those three qualities won't use Hashem's name.
There are many qualities. Okay. There are times that they do use it. There are times they do use it. But again, they don't, obviously don't use it flippantly because they have those qualities. Right? Yeah. Since this is Fasemis, right? So all of these are called Yare Hashem, Shmamal Yira.
How do you the person swearing in Hashem's name? You have these qualities.
it's what you call it if you want to make a point. Yeah, for everybody to call, but obviously very an important point.
I swear to Bob. I remember the guy who used to talk like that. They always used to say,
right.
I swear to...
Right. In Cain, second line is Chasemis. Better than that, I'm sorry, before that. Al Cain, you see in the second line, the fourth word. Al Cain, Shayira Iker Pnimiusam. In other words, once a person is referred to with the title of the Yari Hashem, right, Yari Hashem, that means that he has no place inside of him. His innards, his inner essence, there is no vacuum, there is no place that's vacant of Yari Hashem. Because that is his essence. In Cain, gam dvarashu shalem mitzvahu. That person who has no part of his essence, which to be vacant from Yiras Hashem, then even the things that he does that are part of this world that we would consider our normal circumstances as being vacant, but as being mundane, are actually mitzvos. Because every act he does is a function of his connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Vizeu sha'amar. Right? You b'cha kol amidos, b'cha daika, v'lo b'derach yediya. That's why the Medrash says, if you have in you these midos, in you, not that you understand the truth of these ideas, but it has to be integrated into your kishkis. We know all the problem, there's a wide gap between our knowledge and between that which is integrated into our kishkis. So if a person just only knows it on the outside, even if he knows it very deeply, but it's only on the outside and not integrated into his affect, so then that's not the person we're talking about over here.
He has to embody these qualities.
Yeah. He has to implement them. He has to implement them, embody them. Okay. Lo gedeach yediyah chitzonis. Not where you just know it on the outside, superficially. I don't even want to say superficially because you perhaps can understand it very deeply, but you haven't integrated it into the interior of your persona. Raklios kol maisa biskashrus chius pnimius b'Hashem Yisbarach. Every act is done to attach, right, your internal system, right, to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Vizel ikar perish yira pnimis. That's the main perish of what it means, a yira pnimis. Vizel sh'amro bo tidvak she'ena perish adei precious. When it says you should cleave to Hashem, it doesn't mean you should become an ascetic, separate yourself from the world. Ki mitzad etzma precious lo eishol chlo. Right? There is no way, there's nothing that you can do, as it were, to attach yourself to the Ribbono Shel Olam, because after all, he's a consuming fire. But when you do every act, every physical act, right? You marry your daughter to the Talmud Chacham, you're Mahaneu Minechosav, right? You do Pakratnia for him, with him, business with him, etc. L'shem Shamayim, then you've been Mekayim Uvos Sidvak. Etc. Vizeu sha'amar, and this is what it was said, El Roshe Hamatos. Remember, we said it was an interesting record. Why the Roshe Hamatos? Gamkin apir shematin, the heads of the Matos, but the tribe over here, right? The tribe over here is uses the word mate. A mate is a staff, right? A staff record is also Miloshin note. It points in one direction or the other. It directs in one direction or the other. Yeah? Right? To go off the derech. It's la tot min aderech. Right? The mater, he says, that's why it's given to the Roshei Hamatos. Haper shematin hakol pnimius shemekarvin kol dover l'shorsho. There is the job description of the Roshei Hamatos, and why was this the mitzvah given to them to give over to the Jewish people? Because the mitzvah of Nedarim, the mitzvah associated with Shavuos, as it were, has to be given from a person who is also coming to instruct them at the same time that they always have to be turned, latot, directed, to point them to their inner world. In other words, if you're going to enter into the world of Shavuos, if you enter into the world in the Dharma, you enter into the world of using your speech as it were, and bringing Hashem into your speech, bringing mentioning Hashem's name, etc., concepts similar to that, etc., you need to be told beforehand, right? You need to be told beforehand that your inner system, they have to point you to your inner system, become people, right? People who have nothing in their innards that's vacant of Hashem's presence. So therefore, there, it's called the Rosh Amatos.
They have those qualities?
Well, they require, I would assume they have those qualities, but also the reason that they're referred to as Rosh Amatos is because their job description is to point, right, to point the Jewish people towards the world of the Pnimi, the world of the internal, the world of their essence and their affect being connected to those qualities that enable a person to have the right to take an oath. V'chein b'pshitus, and then we should understand just in general, ha'avos heim shoresh v'aschola. Right? Note, we have avos, we have shvatim, the avos are the foundation. The avos are like the shoresh, they're like the roots of the tree of the Jewish people. Shvatim, the tribes, a shevet is also a reference, it also means a branch. The shvatim are branches off the trunk, called the, what do you call it, the trunk, and the roots in the trunk, called the avos. The shvatim, or the branches, like of a tree. Right? Hashvatim yispashtus roshi amatos, and the roshi amatos, right? In other words, why they're referred to as roshi amatos, once again, to point the Jewish people, as their members of the different shvatim, to point them, yishevachabrim klal yisrael bashoresh, hayud be shvatim shedvekim vaschol anal. In other words, even though there are distinct shvatim, distinct branches coming off the trunk and the roots of this tree, the job description of the Rosh Amatos is always to keep each person with his individual qualities pointed towards the shoresh, pointed towards the roots. Pointed towards the roots. Fine. So we hear very clearly. Right, you hear very clearly that why the mitzvah over here is given to the Rosh Amatos, according to what he quote, according to the Sfasemis. Further, we said that the pasuk says he uses a strange terminology. Vaydaber Moshe el Rosh Amatos l'vnei Yisrael l'mor ze hadavar. This is the thing asher tziva Hashem. We said, this is the thing. This is the thing. Very cool. They're not other things. Right? Says Rashi. Zeh davar. He quotes from the Sifrei. Yeah, from the Medrash Halacha. Moshe nisnabe b'ko. Moshe Rabbeinu uses the terminology ko. Ko amar. Right? Ko amar Hashem. Thusly says Hashem. Or like this says Hashem. Ko. Like this says Hashem. Kechatos alayla. That's the pasuk brought down by the Tzitzis Mitzrayim when Moshe Rabbeinu told that Paro that kechatos alayla, that around midnight, yeah, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to come and strike the firstborn of Mitzrayim. Ko amar, vanaviim yisnabu beko, and the other prophets also prophesized with the word ko, like this, ko, like this, right? Mosaf aleihem. Moshe and his nabi b'loshem zeh hadavar. Moshe Rabbeinu had the koach not only to be benabet, to prophesy using the terminology ko, i.e. like this, but he also had the capacity to be benabet, to prophesy zeh hadavar. This is the thing. Zeh hadavar. Zeh hadavar. Okay? So says the recall, says the
so we haven't gotten into what the thing is yet.
Oh, so we're getting there, Mitzvah Shem. Okay. What?
You can't erase me.
No, it's all right.
I
understand. I consider myself blessed. Don't worry. Well, Bishvil Zeh, right? Bishvil Zeh, Misnabe, Rick says the Gurariye. The Gurariye on this Rashi, not the Maharal. He says Bishvil Zeh, Hayam Misnabe B'Zeh Adover. Hamoral and Avua Baspaklari Hamira. In other words, Zeh Adavar. This is it, to be able to point to them. You say Zeh. Like is like similar, right? Zeh is, this is it. Yeah? Yeah. Moshe Rabbeinu, who saw Baklari on the era, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need Mishalim, he didn't need metaphors in order to receive Nevuah from Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Hashem panim el panim. He didn't need to use the metaphor of Olam Hazeh. He saw to the nth degree, the ultimate truth of what Hashem was communicating.
I don't see the relationship between the thing and the prophecy.
Prophecy didn't receive it the same way. They didn't understand it as clearly. They had to be told in metaphor. Correct?
Oh, that's what you mean? He received the prophecy.
Right. Yes,
I think very much.
Mm-hmm. Verily, I'd be blessed. So it continues the
Gorayim.
Yeah, Hashayach lemitzvah asher nasan Hashem yizbarach liYisrael. Ki mitzvahs haTorah heim binyanim kolim lechach heim yosir muskalim. Aval b'mokom asher rotzli snabos al maaseh Hashem hanagoso k'mo she'omer Moshe ko amar Hashem k'chatzos v'layla v'chein ko amar Hashem avru v'shivu v'shuvu ki yizos ha-mitzvah einu min ha-mitzvos ha-nitzchios rak l'zman nimtzu min ha-rotzon Hashem yizbarach l'maaseh shehoye b'zeh shayach l'oshon ko. Says what he called, says the Gorayim. He says the terminology zeh ha-davar, right, is talking about when we're speaking about the Torah in its purest state, which would be the mitzvot that are going to be forever. There are situations of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe also with the word ko, but that's when he's relating it, right, to something which is not necessarily going to be permanent, right? It's relating to an event that's taking place now. So then Moshe Rabbeinu uses the terminology ko. In other words, like, what we're coming towards is...
I'm still working on what's Torah in its purest state.
Okay, so time out. The Pasuk says, B'dvar Hashem Shamayim Na'asu U'Beruach Piv Kol Tzva'am. In the word... Right, it's not here until... B'dvar Hashem Shamayim Na'asu U'Beruach Piv Kol Tzva'am. You say it in Pesukah Dezimron Shabbos. Right? B'dvar Hashem, in the word of Hashem, the heavens were created, uberuach piv kol tzvam, and in the spirit of his mouth all the hosts were made. So now, what does that mean? It means that everything in this world, right, is a dibur of Hashem. We've talked about this before. That's why all things are called dvarim. In Lashon HaKodesh,
right.
Lashon HaKodesh, all things are called Dvarim. In other languages, you don't refer to objects or things, you don't refer to them as talkables, right? Dvarim. A thing is a thing, an object is an object. Only in Lashon HaKodesh are things referred to as Dvarim, because embedded in all of them are Diburim, the Dibur of Hashem. The Dibur of Hashem. Okay? When everything, everything has embedded in it the dibur of Hashem. Why? Because everything is meant to be used, to be linked to a mitzvah. Everything is an expression of Hashem's dibur.
Right.
Okay? So now, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving over to Moshe, right, the essence of Torah, i.e. the mitzvahs that are always meant to be. So he's giving to Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the Dvar Hashem. This is the dibur of Hashem. In other words, right now, I'm telling you the thing, yeah, upon which all the earth, right, really stands, the foundation upon which all the dvarim in the world stand upon, the dibur of Hashem, the mitzvah of Hashem.
Hashem's will.
Hashem's will, but the mitzvahs, these are called mitzvahs, we call them mitzvahs, Right?
Why are you saying mitzvos compared to, you know, the actual utterances of what Hashem, you know, Hashem said it and it is, right? Hashem, his doing is, you know, not by, you know, the saw and the hammer and the axe, it's by the words that come out. That's a deep word, right? So what do mitzvot have to do with what you're saying?
Because we're not just talking about, when we talk about Hashem's creating the world, we're not just saying that Hashem has an easy way to do it than we do. We would need a saw and a hammer and nails and a plane, right, etc.
Hashem says, and it is.
Right, but I'm saying, the upshot of Hashem saying it is,
yes,
what called, is
how does that attach to this?
Because the upshot of the world's existence is for the fulfillment of mitzvos. There is no other purpose to the world. There is no other purpose to the world. The world doesn't have a purpose other than, within the context of the world, a person will be mekayim the Dvar Hashem that is found in all of the Dvarim of the world. There is no other purpose to the world. The purpose of the world is that a man should give birth to himself. Man should not be a recipient of a freebie, right, of connection to Hashem, but rather he should, as it were, conquer the ostensible or the superficial darkness, which is Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh is Nimshel Lelaila, it's compared to night, right? Man is meant to illuminate the darkness of Olam Hazeh with the light of eternity, though the light of eternity that Hashem gives to him is in the form of Torah and mitzvos. So when Hashem communicates to Moshe, Zed Dvar Hashem, he's talking about a mitzvah. He's talking about a mitzvah. So he's saying this is the essence of everything. In other words, we're not looking laterally in the world, right? Do this within the world, do that within the world. We're not cutting through the entire plane of the world. We're penetrating to a different plane. This is the mitzvah. This is the Dvar Hashem, right? Which you're going to implement in this world right now, but we're not right now. We're passing through the plane of Olam Hazeh.
So we just refer to the pasuk Zedavar.
Zedavar, right?
And then Siva. Siva is
the mitzvah. Right. Then we get again, but we'll go further than that in just a moment. But that's the Zedavar I would call Hashem. Zedavar Hashem. When you say Ko like this, so then Hashem is instructing, yeah, actions within the context of this world. How am I going to present myself to you within this world? What should be done temporarily within the scenario of Olam Hazeh? Like this, metaphorically, right? Because we're talking in the plane of Olam Hazeh.
Ko is the instruction.
Like this, because we're not addressing, like, let's see, we'll do the examples that the Maharal brings. Ko amar Hashem kachatzos alayla. So says Hashem. This is what he's saying to Paul, that we call the firstborn of Mitzrayim will be stricken. Yeah, at approximately midnight. That's not something which is ledoros. That's not something which we call every generation. What do you call it? It's not something that we have to do every generation, always, constantly to the end of all days. This is something which took place at one moment in time, right? So that's Megeder Ko. Or even when there was a tzivui, Ko Amar Hashem, even with Shuvah, when Hashem told Moshe, right, to tell the Bnei Levi to kill all those who serve the Egel, that's not something permanent. We don't go around doing that all the time. That's all within the category of Ko, like this. Right? In other words, these are things that need to be done, but they're done within the context of Olam Hazeh, because it's only something which is temporary. It's not something which is permanent. Some which isn't constant. But when we say Zadavar, what I've done is I've taken you through the plane of Olam Hazeh. And I'm giving you a mitzvah, which you're going to implement in Olam Hazeh, albeit. But it's a mitzvah. It is part of the foundation, upon which Olam Hazeh stands. That's what the Gur Arye says. The Sfas Emes, I'm going to synopsize, yeah? He says that...
Ko is not Zed Adar.
Ko could be referring to a, like, let's say, like let's say, like the Maharal says, like a temporary mitzvah. Right? Why? Because the idea of Ko, like this, It's not the real this. Like, what was it? Like, Coke was the real thing? What was the real thing? Coke? Coke is the real thing. Yeah? Right? Everything else is just like it. Pepsi's like it. Right? It's like it. Lahavdil. So when you're talking about something which is has relevance, has connection to mitzvahs, etc., but it's not what you call, but it's not the actual mitzvah that's meant to be done with doros, we're talking on the level of ko. Ko.
Temporal?
Yeah, it could be temporal, right? Right. So Sassana just adds the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu also spoke with ko. Because there were times when you needed to bring things into the framework, right, of Olam Hazeh, even though they're not something, the permanent foundation upon which Olam Hazeh is standing. Here in what he called, here in the room here, where there's bookcases, there's chairs, there's tables, right, etc. So all of these are within the framework of what occupies this room, right? What occupies this room, but the foundation of this room, right, is what's underneath, right? When Hashem gives us a mitzvah, He taps us into something upon which the very world itself is standing. That's how we connect to Hashem. We talked about the idea before that records that a mitzvah is Hashem tzavta, to be together with Hashem. To be together with Hashem. The Or Chaim, right? Remember, we've talked about it before. The Or Chaim HaKadosh mentioned, told us that Mem Tzadi in Atbash is Yud, followed by Hey. So then, and the end of mitzvah is Vav Hey. So every mitzvah is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Every mitzvah is the essence, right, of connecting to be tzavta together with Hashem. There is the physical act that you're doing. You're putting on the tefillin. You're giving the tzedakah, right? Like the chidah brings the name of the ari. When you give tzedakah, just lamashal. I'm not saying it always is working like that, but lamashal. God says in the end, I read that when you give the tzedakah, the little coin that you give is like a yud. Your hand, with its five digits, which is extended like in what Hebrew is called hey, take, is a hey. Your forearm is a vav. And the receiving hand of the ani is another hey. So when you're giving the tzedakah, right? So right now you took 10 shekels out of your pocket. And you put it into his hand, but what you're doing at the same time is you're binding yourself literally to Hashem, because you're spelling out Hashem's name as you're giving it.
That's why you're supposed to use your right hand to do it.
Yeah, that's what they say.
That's a
thief with all the time, right? Moshe Rabbeinu also speaks the Lashon Ko. In addition, because sometimes he has to record. He can't. His job description is not just to connect the Jewish people to something which is beyond this world, but something they have to tell them how to relate to things within this world also. Fine. You'll find, again, I don't want to get lost in the roundabouts. Yeah? But if you look in Parshas Balak, right? If you look in Parshas Balak, from a few weeks ago, you find that Bilam is always going ad ko, ad ko, ad ko, ad ko. It always says the word ko a million times in the Parsha.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's always saying Adko, because that builds whole essence. He's
all
never. It's all within this world. It's all in, what he caught. It's not something also, but it's always only within this world. He never, as it were, bores through the through the plane of this world to attach to something, to talk to something that says beyond this world. Fine. So if that be the case,
back to
Sfasem. Yeah. So we I just synopsized the Sfasem. So all the Sfasem is the reason. Even Moshe Rabbeinu uses the idea of ko sometimes. Okay. But what we want to come out is like this. If right, so then you can understand why this parsha is said zeh hadavar, because this is the parsha of speech, the koach of speech. The koach of speech, what you can do with speech. You can bind yourself to Hashem's name, speech, b'shvua. You can create, you can transform an object from a dvar heter into something which is usher through speech, through words. So Moshe Rabbeinu tells, this is the introduction of the Jewish people. This is the beginning of the introduction of the Jewish people to their entry into Eretz Yisrael. Because in Eretz Yisrael, there aren't going to be sound and light shows like they had in the Midbar. Now, I can have a Be'er, recall giving them water miraculously, mun coming down from Shemayim, etc., Anani HaKavod. They're going to need to generate, right? Then they're going to need to generate a revelation of Hashem's presence through their actions. It's not going to have just, you know, from above, okay, in the Schus of Arn, you'll have Anani HaKavod, in the Schus of Moshe, you have, what do you call, you have mun, in the Schus of Miriam, you'll have Be'er, etc. You're going to need to do it. You're not going to create Shechina in your midst. The way you're going to create Shechina in your midst is through Dibur. So therefore, of all mitzvos, this last introductory mitzvah over here in Parshas Matos, before we come to Sefer Dvarim, all about Dibur. Moshe Rabbeinu was Mechadesh Torah and it became Torah. Eilat Barmash Dibur. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu spoke out Midyeh Sefer Dvarim. He was a person who was Kvad Peh, Kvad Lashon, Oyel Sasayim, and now he's speaking Divrei Torah, Elokim Chaim.
Well, speech is more important than action?
Speech is what defines the person.
I think some people can talk all they want, they don't do anything.
You're right. What do you call a Dibur that doesn't lead to action? Is a problem, right? Right? It says, "And mor ma'at v'aseh arbe." Yeah, but the dibur is what defines the person, right?
Ish the part of bikol could be only outside, nothing underneath.
Okay, again, we're not talking about that. That's really cool. That's what we learned, that you have to make it internalized as well.
Relationship to oaths and how important they are. That kind of dibur is a special. Special
koach.
That a person has, and that's the whole. That's what you have to understand.
Right.
That's why the oath is so dangerous. Dangerous. That's why it's so powerful.
Right. It says very quote. Right. Va'ipach ba'apav the parshas brace. Va'ipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. Va'ya adam lenefesh chaya. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathed. Yeah? Life. Vayipach ba'apav. And he breathed into his nostrils. Right? Nefesh chayim. Right? Nishmas chayim. Vayia adam lenefesh chaya. And man became a speaking spirit, says the Targum. Nefesh chaya, ruach memala, speaking spirit. So what do you call it? Vayipach, like Chazal say, man de nofach. One who breathes out, midilei nofach. He's breathing out of himself. When I exhale, I'm taking something which is internally right now inside of me, and if I exhale into let's say, I'm a glass blower. I've now put my breath into this glass, right? I've taken some of myself and put it into this glass. Man de nofach, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathed life into man, midilei nofach, he breathes something of himself, kov yachol, into man. And that, says the Targum, he became a nefesh chaya, says the Pasuk, he became a living being, says the Targum. What does that mean? The ruach memalala, a speaking spirit. Man was given the koach of dibur. Koach of dibur. So as the introduction to coming to Eretz Yisrael, here in Matos, we first talk about the incredible koach of dibur. Right? And that's referred to, and that, of all things, is Zehadavar. That's the essence. If you understand your Dibur, then what your Dibur is, and what it's doing, and that it's parallel to Koshboku Kobyoko's Dibur himself, that you're continuing his Dibur in this world, just as he created the world, Kibedvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu, Uberach Piv Kotzvam, just as through his Dibur he creates the world, you're continuing creation. As you are Medaber, Daber, l'daber also means to be manhig, to guide. We saw in a few weeks ago, right, when Moshe Rabbeinu wants, Yehoshua to be appointed as the next leader. And that even though he has a relationship interplay with what he called with Elazar HaKohen, but nonetheless, there had to be one exclusive leader, so Rashi used the terminology, Chazal used the terminology, Dabar Achad Lador Vein Shnei Dabarim Lador. There's one leader. Because the way, what you speak about, how you speak about it, right, leads you and leads others around you. Dibor. Fine.
What was that story? The mouth. Maybe you told me a few times. The mouth, the brain. They went before the king, and then they said, "I'm going to show you I'm greater than all the others."
Oh, the mouth. Wait, yeah, right. What do you call it? When the marshal of the king who was looking for they bring that on the puzzle, like Hamavis Vachayim Biad Aloshim, death and life in the hands of the tongue. The king, what do you call it, who was very ill, and his doctors told him the only way that he could possibly be healed is if he had the milk of a lioness, right? The milk of a lioness. And so one person came and what do you call it and said, "I'll bring you the milk of a lioness." The king said, "Fine, you'll be rewarded." Right, he'd be rewarded. So he goes out there and he finds a den where there's a lioness there with cubs, and he throws in, a goat the first day, and the second day he gains the confidence in the lioness. To finally he's able to get up right close to the lioness and to milk her. Right, he brings the milk back, and on the way back he stops to rest because he's got a lot of long journey back to come to the king. You know, of course, is going to reward him greatly. And in his dream, he has this dream about all of his organs arguing with one another. Right? The feet saying, "If I didn't bring you there, record, you never would have accomplished it." The hand saying, "If I hadn't milked the lioness," and the brain says, "If I didn't think of this," everybody's saying, "I'm the greatest." And the tongue says, "No, but really, I'm the greatest." And everybody's laughing at the tongue. You have no bone inside of you. You're just sitting in a damp cellar there, right in the mouth there.
Oh,
right?
Like a dark, dirty, 2x2
right.
Hole
right.
With bacteria.
Well said by a dentist. Well said. But he called it was clearly a sign from heaven that you came this week. But in any event, So there it is. And then there they say nonsense. He says, "You'll see, the time will come. You'll beg me. You'll make me into your king." And he comes before the king to say. He says, "Oh, great king, I brought you the milk of a dog." He says Kalbia instead of Levia. So he goes, so the guy, the king says, "I'm half dead. I'm waiting for you to show up with the king with the milk of a lion. You show up with the milk of a dog. Take a guy, string him up, but well, don't string you up, but what he called, do it, make sure it hurts a lot." You're the guy, and all the Ibrahim are shaking, what he called, like shakshuka. What's gonna be? And the tongue is saying to all of them, now what do you say? Who has control? They say, "We recognize you're the king, just get him out of this." He says, Oh, powerful king. Right, called. He says, I'm telling you this will heal you. What do you care what milk it is? I'm telling you it'll heal you. I promise you it'll heal you. And not only that, but there are places overseas where they call a Levia Kalbia. Where they call a Levia by the name term, the same term that we refer to as a dog. And of course he gets out of it, etc. Yeah, right. Okay. So fine. So that's what he calls. So that's the one thing. Zadavar. Next, Bnei Gad Me Ruvain.
Especially what you say to your wife.
Bnei Gad Me Ruvain. Okay, your co is after. You have to be careful with your co also.
Yeah.
Okay, Bnei Gad Me Ruvain. So it says, "Umikne Rav Hayu LeRuvain LeBnei Gad LeBnei Ruvain LeBnei Gad Asum Meod." That's Pasuk Perek Amid Beis Pasuk Aleph. Umikne Rav Hayu LeBnei Ruvain LeBnei Gad Asum Meod VaYiru Es Eretz Yazer VeEs Eretz Gilad VeHine Amakom Makom Mikne. Right, etc. They see they got grazing lands, etc. Says the Medrash, "Umikne Rav Hayu LeBnei Ruvain LeBnei Gad Halacha." Says the Medrash, "Gimu Matanos Nivru BaOlam." The three matanos that are made in the world. Zochav achas mihen notal yeah chandas kol olam. If a person, right, if a person is zocha in any one of them, so then he, as it were, he has taken chemdas kol olam. Chemda is the desirous atmosphere, right? The desirous goal of the entire world. If a person is zocha to one of these three matonos, then he has in his hand everything precious in the world. Chemda, yeah, we talked about different chemda and taiva, right? We did. Okay. Zocha b'chokma, zocha b'kol. Zocha b'gvura, zocha b'kol.
So now you're on different word now?
Yes, now it's saying what he called, we're the three matonos, we're the three gifts that if a person's word is really zocha, he really merits it, yeah? He is zocha in everything. Chokma, wisdom, gvura, bravery, right? And osher, and wealth. Zocha b'kol. Emasai, When does he merit everything after receiving these three? Bizman she matana shamayim, when the gifts of heaven. Uba'os b'koach ha-Torah, and they come through the strength of the Torah. Avugurasa v'asher shobasa v'adam eno klum. But the, what do you call it, but the Torah, right? But the, what do you call it, the gvura, the osher of a person is nothing.
No wonder why I was feeling sorry for myself.
The gvura and the osher are nothing. Right? Right? So says Yirmiah. And he quotes a pasuk. He quotes a few pasuk, which is one here, the bold, let's see this one over here. V'chein Yirmiah Omer. Kol amar Hashem. Thus saith Hashem. Al yishalel chacham d'chachma so. V'al yishalel gibor d'gvura so. V'al yishalel ashir b'ashro. Ki im bezos yishalel hamishalel. Haskil v'yado osi. Note the pasuk he quotes. Right? Kol Amar Hashem. Yeah, we call Yirmiyahu is calling out. Right, Yirmiyahu is calling out to what we call to all of us, and he says, in the world of Kol, a person who's got wisdom, don't praise yourself for your wisdom. A person who is a gibor, a person of strength, yeah. Don't praise yourself, Al Yisrael, Al Gibor B'Gvor So. Don't praise yourself for your strength. A person's got wealth, Al Yishalel, yeah, Ashir B'Asho. Don't praise yourself for your wealth. Ki in Bezos, only in Zos, in this, Yishalel and Yishalel. Should the word person take praise for himself? Haskel V'Odo Osi. Where are you praiseworthy? Only to the degree to which you know me. Only to the degree to which you know me. But not because you've achieved the wealth, not because you've achieved the bravery, right? Not because you've achieved even the wisdom. It's only the Zos, once again, the world of Ko, as opposed to the world of Zed. You're at Zos, but it's feminine. Zos is Halel. Continues the Medrash till the end, right? The bold lines in the end of the Medrash. It's all Medrash. V'chein atamotzi b'vnei God v'nei Ruvein. Shahayu you ashirim. They were wealthy. V'ha'elem mikne godol, a lot of flocks. V'chivavu es mamonam, and they were very possessed of their money. They were very enchanted with their money. They loved their money. V'yashvu lahem chutz la'aretz Eretz Yisrael, and they were willing to stay outside of Eretz Yisrael. V'fichach golu t'chila, that's why they went into Golus first. When the 10 tribes were sent into Golus, the first ones to go, yeah, b'nei go b'nei Ruven. V'kol ha'shvatim. And what caused this to them? Because they were willing to separate themselves on the other side of the Jordan, separate from their brethren, for the sake of their possessions. They're willing to be in a separate area on the other side of the Jordan, right? Why they choose that? For the sake of their possessions, their worldly possessions. Right? Don't be chotef for yourself. Says the Svasemis. Everything is from Hashem. Two people are wealthy. Right? One person is connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the other one is not connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Where do they get their wealth from? Only from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Only from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? So it's not as though there's any other way place to get it from. Aski akol Hashem Yisbach. Come from the fi hayedia shiodea oda heitev. Kol shalom Hashem Yisbach. Heitev. Well, to know it well. In other words, well, to know it well. You know, properly. In other words, everybody, whatever anybody has, they only have it from Hashem. There is no other place to have it from. But the degree to which I know that it comes from Hashem, the Koach HaTorah, as the Medrash says, yeah? So that to that degree, it becomes a matana min shamayim. It becomes a gift from heaven. Right?
The degree at which a person knows
it. Where the source of it is. And it, with proper usage, right? And it's proper, recall, properly prioritize it, as it were. The degree to which a person does that is the degree to which it is a matana. And not only is it a matana, but when he has that matana, it has the ability for him to, what he calls, to have everything in the world. Because now it opens up his eyes. It opens up his eyes to the entire world and how he needs to connect to the entire world. Right? Chela hefech, though. And so to the opposite. Shechotif la'atzma, if you think you're taking it for yourself, you think you're the one who's doing it. You think it's my strength, it's the power of my hands that did this. So really, there is in every davar, like we said before, like the Sal said, every davar in its inside is the Ratzon Hashem. If a person realizes that whatever he has, be it in Chokhmah, be it in Gvura, be it in Osher, is a matana from Hashem, so then the light of that experience of his being a Gibor, of being a Chokhm, of being an Osher, is a tremendous light. And that gives him the capacity, as it were, break calls, to relate to everything in the world in the proper light. But if, however, he sees that when he has any of these three gifts, right, he thinks it's his because of his efforts, not because it's the will of Hashem who is the source of what he has. It creates an incredible darkness.
He's an egomaniac.
Whatever we call it, it creates an incredible. It pervades his pervades his entire perspective on everything that he sees, and the result is really quite. He loses his rights to Olam Hazeh. They go to Golas and they go to Meruvim.
What a good description of Donald Trump to throw to Hillary.
Okay, let's not get overly political here. Okay. Fine. Right.
Unfortunately, most of the world doesn't see it. As a matter of fact, none of the world sees it.
Barclay says something interesting last night. Mm-hmm. She said the reason why Reuven and Gad, the part of Manasseh,
mm-hmm.
didn't go into Eretz Israel mm-hmm. was because of the chet of they came from Dina, and Dina had Anas, and Anas was married Yosef, and in that union created Tuma that never left them, and therefore they weren't Zocha to go into Eretz Israel because they were impure. They didn't have the Kedusha enough to go into Eretz Israel because of that union.
The half of Menashe.
Half of Menashe talking about. Right.
Right. The half of Menashe ended up in with Reuven and God.
Okay. That's a different topic. Right, I hear. Okay. So it's just what you call. Let's relax.
Not that much.
That's why, right? That's why. The story here of the Midianites in the end of Parshas Balak, right? It says Sororas Amidyanim. And Pinchas, I'm sorry. Sororas Amidyanim. To create enmity towards the Midyanim. enmity. Right. Fill yourself with enmity towards them.
That's a mitzvah for us.
Well, that was a mitzvah then at that time. I mean, we don't have them around anymore. Right? Why? Because of what they did to you. What did they do to you? They were machshel you. Yeah, al dvar po'or, al dvar kozbi, bas nasi mijan, achosam, amukab, yom ha-magifa, etc., al dvar po'or. They attached you to po'or, and they attached you to the mice of kozbi, they attached you to the mice of snus. Right? And that's why they had to be eradicated. Because that was their goal, was to bring us down. Right? Again, if we remember correctly, the koach hadibur that's inside of us makes us the extension of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's dibur with which the world was created. Right? We are called, those who have a ruach memalala, a speaking spirit inside of us. Hashem has breathed into us the koach hadibur. So we become agents for Hashem's continued dibur's continued guidance of this world. But if a person, as it were, his mind, his heart is filled, with memories, right? And they're constantly reminding, right? They're constantly trying to be machshel to cause the Jewish people to sin, not like that, but the individuals whom they sinned are constant reminders of our deficiency, not just of our deficiency, but I guess maybe that really is who I am, that's really the person that I am. So they are the antithesis, right, of what the Jewish people are meant to embody. They make it impossible for the Jewish people to embody their job description as a carriage of Hashem in this world. So create enmity for them. That's what it says in Parshas Pinchas. Here in our Parsha, Hashem tells Moshe, Nikom Nikmas Bnei Yisrael. This is in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Beis. Take the vengeance of the Jewish people. Me'ez HaMidyonim. Then afterwards you will pass out of this world. So Hashem tells Moshe, Nikom Nikmas Bnei Yisrael. Take the vengeance of the Jewish people. Because their station, their status, their capacity has been lowered. They need to take Nikoma, they need to realign. In other words, just like when you kill somebody. Right? If God forbid a person kills somebody. Right? So he has pushed away his presence off of this world. That's why his goal Adam, that's why his relative has the right under certain circumstances to push the other person's presence off the face of the earth. Why? To realign the homeostasis with this source of Adam, this person over here, push somebody off the face of the earth that he had no right to do. So that's the concept of Nekama over there. So to also, the there has to be an act of Nekama for the sake of the Jewish people. Why? Because the Midianites have caused the Jewish people, as it were, to appear, not just to the world outside, but to themselves, as a lower creation, as a creation that's possessed only with desire. It's overcome with desire. So Hashem tells Moshe, Nekom, as Nikmas Bnei Yisrael, take the vengeance of the Jewish people. When Moshe speaks to the Jewish people in the next pasuk, what does he say? Vayidaber Moshe el ha'am lemor, perek lamed aleph pasuk gimel, hichalsu mitchem anashim latzava v'yu al midyan l'aseis Nikmas Hashem b'midyan. Nikmas Hashem, the Nekama of Hashem. Right? He's doing the vengeance of Hashem. Hashem says to Moshe, take the vengeance of the Jewish people. Moshe says to the Jewish people, take the vengeance of Hashem. Why? Because it's two sides of the same coin. Because we are the medabrim of Hashem, right? And the whole parsha is talking about the koach hadibur, and this is the antithesis of the fineness, the sensitivity, the subtleness that a person guides the entire universe through his dibur. We lift up the entire bria, the entire creation through our dibur. Right? The angels are called the dibur of Hashem. Yishlach dvaro. Right? I'm saying Yishlach dvaro over your pain. Hashem sends his agents, his words. Who are his words? The malachim. And on earth, we are the medabrim of Hashem. We are the speakers for Hashem on earth. Right? The highest level of a person, when he becomes a full example of one of those who is the speakers for Hashem on this earth, he's called a Navi. A Navi is Borei Nivsasayim. his fruit, his lips give over fruit. Niv is Moshe Tnuva. Those are the fruits of his lips. The fruits of his lips. So, that the story of Negod, Neruvain, the story of the Midianites, is in context over here, yeah? In context over here, with the entire Parsha, which talks about the greatness of man, which is typified through his Dibor. The Bnei Gad, Bnei Ruvain were focusing on the wrong thing, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was so upset with them. Right? He was so upset with them. And at the same token, the antithesis of the Koach of Dibor of man is represented by the Midianim.
So they were the first people to go off the Derek?
They went completely off, etc. But they obviously chose on a different level of existence. They went completely off, but of course, when they're choosing a different level of existence, you're in a weaker position. Right? A person who's on a loftier level of existence, he's more tightly bound, like the Rambam says, more nevuchim. The more that a person is more tightly bound to Rabbon Shalom, the less that the events of time, of world things, have an effect on him, because he's living on a different plane. He's on a higher plane. He's not subject to the vicissitudes of, quote unquote, what we call of life.
Is that what time goes
effect? Lay down. I would just close what Nachman Breslov says. Yeah, Nachman Breslov says on the Pasuk, yeah, in Tilim Ches. Relax. The Techasreu Me'at Melokim. The Chavod Vahadar Te'atreu. Pasuk says in Tilim Ches. But Techasreu, man, you have made him just a little bit less Me'elokim from Hashem, from God Himself. The Chavod Vahadar Te'atreu. And glory, yeah, honor and glory you have crowned him with. Right? So says Rav Nachman Breslov, yeah, he says in Likutei Maran. Right, it's in Pektas. He says, "Ine yadua ki kol masha chosel adam him beruchni him begashmi hachisaron hu bashchina." You hear he's teaching the pasuk their chassidus. "Betechasreu me'at melokim." When man is missing something, it's me'at melokim that's missing something. This chizim referring to the shchina. In other words, we are bound up with the shchina. We are bound up with the shchina. That's what it means. Also, that the shchina, right? The Tsar of Klal Yisrael. The Tsar of Klal Yisrael. All the Tsar of Klal Yisrael throughout the ages is embodied in the Tsar of the Shechina. Right? You hear? It's embodied in the Tsar of the Shechina. The Shechina is the divine presence, but it's that aspect of the divine presence which rests upon us. It rests upon us. The Ramak says, Rav Moshe Cordovero, right? His yahrzeit, I think, was yesterday. Yeah? His record, he says, the yisod of shechinta begalusa, the yisod of the shechina going to galus, is when there's sinas shechina, when there's period between the neshamos. Why? Because when we are divided from one another, there's no place for the shechina to rest. Why? Because we are the carriage of the shechina. So, Parsha talks about the koach hadibur, zeh hadavar, right? That this is the essence of all essences of what defines man. This is the introduction to their entry into Eretz Yisrael, right? This is where you're going to have to recall. You're going to the Hashem is not going to give you the sound and light show of the Be'er, of the Anani HaKavod, of the Man Min HaShamayim. You're going to have to do it. When you fulfilled your job description as medabrim, proper medabrim, and in order to be a proper medaber, you have to have as Hashem el kechatiro, you have to have proper fear of Hashem. You also savod, yeah, go sidbak. You have, what do you call, you have to be focused on a vote of Hashem. You have to, as it were, be willing to cleave to Hashem. And all that means that we talked about before, as it were, to cleave to those, what do you call, who are attached to the Torah, etc. All of this, within that context, the Parsha discusses also the Bnei Gadim Ruvain, who didn't prioritize things properly, and because of that, they eventually went to Golis first, and we talk about the enmity that needs to exist between the Jewish people and the Midian, and ultimately the very violent end that the Jewish people.
They stayed on the other side is considered Golis first?
It's not, no, but they were taken away by the Assyrians first, very cool, when they went to Golis. And then recall the idea of what he called of the what he called the midianites, because the midianites need to, as it were, we need to realize how they're coming to kill us. They're coming to kill us. A person who wants to lower our spiritual what he called presence. A person who wants to what he called to transform us from the medabrim of Hashem into what we call into just a bunch of cats, right? They are trying to destroy us. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu told them, and therefore you must destroy them.
Two questions. One is when you say the Mishkina is missing something.
When we are missing something.
So we're now talking about material goods.
Material things also.
Yeah.
When you're in pain. Hachisoran hu bashchina. Right, he says, we can call mashachosel adam pain the ruchni, pain the gashmi. If you're in pain, the shrine is in pain. If you're in pain, the shrine is in pain. They say about
that's right, mikute imaron.
Yeah, they say what he called when the Yitzchak Mivorke, right? The Yitzchak Mivorke was what he called. He was a chaver of the Kutzker, right? He was a Talmud of. Think of Rabinim, my Simcha Bunim Pshisk. So when he was Nifter, he was known as a tremendous Oev Yisrael. So after he was Nifter, so his son, Rav David, if I remember, right, came to the Kotzker, right, Menachem Mendel Mikotzk, who was his friend. And the Kotzker asked him, he says, have you seen your father since he passed away? He says, no. He says, no. He says, I've seen him. He says, yes. He says, yeah. He says, I was in Shemayim. Right? I was in Shemayim. And I went to look for him. Right? And I came to, what do you call it? I came to all different sections of Shemayim. And I asked, you know, have you seen my friend, Rabbi Yitzchak? And they said, no. No, went to different places, higher places, all over the place. I couldn't find. Finally, I came to a field, right? Came to a field, and I would have caught. And I asked somebody, "If you've seen my friend Yitzchak," and they said, "Yeah, all the way on the other side of the field, he's sitting there, right? He's sitting there. He never leaves there." So I traveled over there, and I went up to him. I said, "Yitzchak, what are you doing?" He's sitting by a river, right? And the river is flowing. Big river is flowing. He says, what are you doing here? He says, I remember he's a big Oyev Yisrael. He says, what do you call it? These are the tears of all the Jewish people. Right? And Shemayim, right? What was, like he's saying over here. When the Jew cries, the Shekhinah cries. It's a mission in Sanhedrin. When a Jew is in pain, even a Rasha, when he's in pain, the Shekhinah says, I'm in pain. It's a mission in Sanhedrin. It's not just Chassid Shemaisa. Right? So what do you call it? He says, I can't leave here. That is the what do you call it? On the earth, He was an Oev Yisrael. What he was living in Oev Yisrael, because what a person really understands who the Jewish people are, that there's a carriage of the Ribbono Shel Olam here in the world, then his love for them is like a love for the Ribbono Shel Olam, because we are the carriage. We're the only carriage that Ribbono Shel Olam has in the world. Okay. It's an interesting thing. I didn't think about it before. I mean, the Midianites really doesn't have to do with speech per se.
Well, that is just supposed to be one who wanted to do it all to us with this. They hired him to do it.
Right. Oh, that's because remember what they said over there. Why did Moab send to what he called to Midian? They originally what he called back in Parshas Balak. They sent to them. He grew up there, so he was there. What he called? What do you know about him? So they said to him, his whole koach is in his peh. His whole koach is in his peh. Right. It's all what he calls strength is in right. his mouth. That's what the Midianites said. Right. 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 It was a good day. His whole strength was in his peh. And that, we call him, that's why we call, that's why he went to Bilam. Bilam went to Koach in his peh. We call, maybe he can do it.
Right.
They said the Medrash brings down also that, what you call it, that originally, Cosby, the daughter of the king of Midian,
not
who, right, caught, let's not get into this here, right, caught, okay, that Cosby, right, he's called Cosby why? Because she didn't listen to her father. Why? Her father told her, don't you do whatever you're going to do with anybody except Moshe Rabbeinu. Because that would be the ultimate. In other words, if Bilam can't with his tongue, if Bilam with his tongue can't conquer the Jewish people, then maybe we can bring down the Jewish people, right, from within by being Machshil, the great Medaber, the great speaker of the Jewish people.
Wow, what a goal to set out to do.
Right. Interesting. Just thought of it now. Very interesting. That was her job. She didn't listen to her father. She spoke Ted Cosby to false her father. She went to his Zimmer. What do you call it? She went to his Zimmer.
Talked about it. She said, I'm also a tribal leader.
Amazing.
Yeah, it couldn't matter.
Right? Amazing.